What does it mean to truly live? To face death and return with a message? Today's guest has done exactly that. Welcome to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm so grateful you're here. Today, I sit with the extraordinary Reverend Hani Borden, a woman who has walked to the edge of this life in return with wisdom that will stop you in your tracks. A post-master's trained clinical therapist, existential counselor, advanced meditation teacher, and founder of the Ascension Alchemists podcast and community. Reverend Hani B, as she's known, brings us deep into the questions that matter most. Her near-death experiences have shaped a life of profound service, supporting individuals in their transformation and ascension. This is Mystical Sisterhood, and this conversation, it's one you won't forget. A quick warning, this episode contains discussions of a car accident from Reverend Hani Borden's childhood and the depiction of traumatic events. Listener discretion is advised. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is Maureen Spielman, and today I am with Reverend Hani B. And it is so great to have you here, Hani B. We met in a Kylie Chandler group recently, and I'll just say a few words about you first. You're an international speaker, an afterlife experiencer, which I want you to explain to the audience, and founder of Ascension Alchemy Ministry. You also started DC's first holistic wellness medi spa back in 2006, surrendered it after what you call an afterlife encounter to answer God's call. And so there is so much here to share today. I had read what you shared, and there can be different tracks that we go on. And I know that the audience will be very interested if we started around your near-death experience. But before we do that, let me back up and say welcome, welcome, welcome to you. And thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Maureen. I'm delighted to be here. And I'm so joyous to be with your audience today. Thank you.
Yes, and I'm excited to see what's going to come forth. You know, when I was just referring to the two tracks, it's the Ascension Alchemist and the work you do of service in this area, which will, I think, will kind of cover a lot of things today. When I was reading some of your bio sheets about having experienced what I am understanding is two near-death experiences in your life, the first being at seven, why don't we start there? Because I have a feeling it can kind of paint a backdrop for what your life became, it sounds like, over and over again.
Yes, yes, indeed. Thank you so much. So at the age of seven, I had my first, let's call a true call, where I discovered who I really am. But it didn't come out just like that. It came in the package of a fatal car crash. And to go a little bit into it, I was born in Iran, so my family wanted to take me to the city of Shiraz to see the ancient ruins of Persepolis. I always had a fascination with them. I used to draw those ancient columns. I wanted to see them. And this was back in 1979, where it was the Islamic Revolution had just taken place. So about 2 months later, we were going to go on this trip. And during that time, what's important is there was a complete change in our country. And from that, one of the impacts of it was the gasoline was not easily accessible to people. So we had these gasoline kind of like not jars, like gallons and gallons in the trunk with our suitcases. So that way, if the car ran out of gasoline, we didn't have to wait 3 days behind the gas station until we can go. This is significant because you're going to see why I'm sharing this. So during this particular day, unusual, my mother decided to drive the car. My father would never, ever let my mom drive. My father was a car race driver. So it was too strange that he gave the car for my mom to drive. And when I woke up that morning before we left, I woke up with something really awful inside of me. I couldn't put it into words, but I was very scared of my father, so I couldn't say anything to him. My brother had decided not to come, so he was with my grandmother. So during this trip, as we were driving, I was napping in the back of the car. When I woke up within like a minute, something woke me up and I saw an incoming car coming. And before anything could take place, my mother turned the wheel a little too fast and my dad screamed. And next thing, it was this horrific head-on collision. So in that second, when I opened my eyes, I was trapped in the back seat, Maureen, and there was smoke everywhere. Everything had thrown about, blood everywhere. And when I peeked, I was trapped in the back, couldn't move. When I look, my mom's face, the wheel was broken into her face, and my father's head was hanging in the windshield, and smoke, and a lot of smoke was coming out. And I got to be able to peek through the back window, and I saw the car that we had was smushed. So all I know is in that moment, I just knew there was gasoline jars, but this is about to blow up. And they looked at, my parents looked at, everybody's, and I'm about to die in this fire. Like the car's gonna blow up and I'm gonna die in it. And I remembered the fear was so much because I started screaming, trying to get myself out, trying to push the car, the door just to get out, kicking and screaming, just anything. So frightened. And within a split of a second, Maureen, my father's weight dropped into the front seat, and there was a tiny sound which indicated to me there was life, he hadn't died. So in that exact split moment where I was the most frightened I've ever been in my life, and knowing I'm about to be burned alive, in that split of a second when I heard my father's sound, something happened in me. Instantly, I came out of my body, out of that little body, and I came out of the car, went above the car to about like 20 feet above the car, so big, but I didn't go further. Then I looked everything down, and I was in this incredible, amazing, like superpowered, like other body that was gorgeous, shimmering. It was so beautiful, like I can't express the amazingness of it. Till this day, I can never say what it was. And it was like this sparkling, shimmering thing, like what I'm talking about. And in that second, my little body was there. And this other body, through that little body, touched the door just came out like this. And then I came out of the car, came on the other side because my mother looked like she was dead, and I touched the door of my father, jam, everything smushed, you know, and the door came like this, everything was weightless, and I went, grabbed my father with one hand, lifted him, no weight, nothing. I came, put him on the desert floor because this was in the desert, and I just sat next to him, and I was in marvel, in this heavenly place that I couldn't say what it was, you know. So out of this, then I started hearing the sounds of people running and screaming, and the car accident, and trying to get my mom out before the car blows up. So to make a long story short, they put us in the car and they took us to the nearest village. It was a village, not even a hospital. And my parents both were in coma. So for about a week, I was by myself, no family, nothing in this hospital. And I was perfectly okay. And absolutely nothing happened to me in that fatal car crash. Nothing. I had zero injury, only a little bit of bruise in the back of my lip. That was it. But what the miracle part about this is this, that we didn't get to the destination. And obviously the family members, they notified the other one. This little clinic, they didn't have phones. So we couldn't reach anyone. Some witness that saw what happened that I carried my dad out in that little body, they came, and then they came to the hospital, asked questions. So however, this became a story that was then published in the major city in the capital, and that's how my family found us, flew to get us to fly us back to the capital. And that's when my parents went into surgery, and then I lost memory for 9 months. Yeah, so that was that. But when I gained memory, I was different, and I had unusual so-called abilities that troubled my family, everybody and everybody. So that was my first experience of who I truly am. I recognized who I was, that I wasn't that little thing, that little body. I was something far greater, and I had incredible, supreme, like we call it superhero power. That was in me. And I came to understand this is in everyone. So 30 years later, it became a children's inspirational memoir called The Day I Became a Superhero, which I'll talk about how that came. I never intended to write about it, but yeah.
How did you, you know, what a traumatic event also for a young person to go through and your parents. But do you think that the memory, I've read that when accidents happen, that often they'll be like not having memories right there. Like no, what was that experience for you?
I had memory, but the experience of what I experienced was far greater, that all that trauma did not consume in any way. However, I will tell you, because we're talking about mystical sisterhood, that also became the journey, because it does get embedded in your body.
Okay.
It is as a memory. So then it plays that at some point you have to start clearing the trauma, because you don't know yet that presence carried me for so long, then it had to catch up.
But the physical, it's in the physical body.
It's in a memory of trauma in the body, because being in the car for a long time, I would be like tense, but I couldn't fully put it together. And I do have to say this became bad, because for 30 years, Maureen, we never spoke of that accident. No way that, because it was, so please understand the context. I was seven. I was in Iran, in that culture. My parents were went into coma. Then they came back. They had to go in so many surgeries. The family just saw me that I was okay. And they quit. So there is not about how you're doing, emotion, like none of that. There's none of that. It's just, let's thank God the parents didn't die, but let's get them like to be okay, to function. So that's where the energy is invested.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and so you had this felt sense in knowing that you were bigger, that this whole life was bigger because of what you saw. And then what did that look like for you going through life in your teens or your 20s? Did in many ways.
Let me show it to you what after, because this is important. Right after that, for example, I began being able to very easily see beings go in and out of the walls. The angels, clearly see them, ascended masters, and I had a guardian with me all the time. And in my culture, this is not acceptable. I also has other interdimensional beings. So, you know, all kinds of experiences. And this was too crazy for my family. Like, or okay, she's too imaginary, it's okay, she's had an accident, you know, like that. But they couldn't understand. And for me, it was the most real thing. And especially, I talked about this in my other podcast, when my great grandmother, my mother's grandmother, transitioned, we had gone to for the burial, and they were carrying her on the body, because within 24 hours, the body has to be buried. And everybody's crying. And meanwhile, she's walking with me. So I'm like pulling at my mom's hand. Mom, she's here. She's not over there. Mom, I'm like, and then my great grandmother's talking to me. They're like, they can't see me. I'm like, I'm already blessed with her. And they don't understand. And I had the ability to, for example, hear the music of the flowers and the melody and the symphony and like the leaves. So I was very like in the nature, like hearing like all this. Yeah. But I couldn't understand that people couldn't understand this. And it became a trouble in elementary school, because The teachers would call my parents, come get her, she's scaring people. So this became a lot. She's scaring people. And I couldn't understand why, especially this one particular guardian that was with me. It was my best friend. And I didn't understand till way later when I had my NDE in January 8, 2012, who that being was. So, which I'll touch base with that. But I went through that for quite a while. And I had, like, for example, I could close my eyes and like shut down like lights in the street. I love playing that game a lot. I had all these like cool abilities, like I could exercise. And for me, it was just, you're a kid. Like, it's like there's not a big deal until it became an issue. So when we migrated out of, because the war started in Iran and it was like bombing. So we went through a lot during that time. What was amazing, you know, there were nights where we had bomb drills and we would hide like in the either neighbors' houses because they would turn the lights off. So we would all have to wait till morning and then wait whether, you know, we will be alive the next day or not. I mean, just one candle. But what was so interesting, I was never scared. Everybody else was, I would see the fear in the parents and everybody, but I was just like, I just knew because I had experienced that truth. Like, I wasn't scared. And that really gave me the ability. We came to America with nothing. We had to leave everything behind. No English, starting life. That's when I shut everything down. I knew I didn't speak English. I didn't belong. And it was already, I didn't belong anyway. And I couldn't go this way. So I really shut it down till I was 21. I wanted to make sure people didn't know what I could see in them, you know, abilities I had, and I just needed to be like everybody else. But that brought us a lot of suffering to me. And the first impact was when my dad did die in a fatal car crash, and I was 21. And that opened up some door, and it led me to go into studying clinical therapy. And I became a clinical therapist because I needed to help others as I really needed to help myself. You know?
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's amazing. And the interesting thing about your life too, is sort of those patterns of what was showing up, like this car accident when you were young, your father and another car accident, or yeah. And even when you referred, but thanks for sharing just the aftermath of that. And also the background in Iran and what was going on in the country that time and what just that this wasn't allowed. I wondered, was there anybody anywhere in your family or some adult in your life that understood you at all, do you feel, or would give you?
My grandmother, my mom's mother, I was very close with her. Yeah. And she would always say to me, she would say in her dialect, Rula, like little one, you're not one of us. And but there was something in me always knew, like when I was before the accident, when I was 4, I would always go wait outside with like a little, almost like lunchbox type of thing, a little bigger, but waiting for my real parents to come get me. I would draw these things like on the wall, like circular things. I would tell my parents, I came through here. I came to help the people of Earth. I had a very deep knowing inside of me as a child. And my grandmother would always say, you're not one of us. You're not one of us. You know, they would say, because just my mannerisms and stuff was very different. But she was the only one that she would want to talk to me. The one that I would talk to was my grandmother. And till this day, she's in spirit side, and she's just phenomenal.
Amazing. Yes, yes. I was just wondering if there was that safe place, and it sounded like she was safe in ways, for sure. Yeah, so then you had that internal calling to study something that would allow you to bring some of these gifts or abilities or just your...
It wasn't actually that. It was really from the psychological challenge of migrating, losing everything, going from so much everything. We had like cooks and drivers and stuff like that to absolutely nothing, starting from zero. And the trauma of, talking about trauma of the revolution and war was a lot. And then coming here starting zero, like I was in seventh grade when I came here. And like, and it's brutal at that age, like,
very,
you know? Yes. Just by itself, and then coming in. So from there, and this happening with my father, there was a lot of things I had to meet. And I became extremely depressed during that time. So I really had to save myself. And I had gotten married early. I got married when I was 22. I had to help myself. I kept feeling I have a hole inside of my heart, and I can't fill it. I'm not right. I'm just not right. So that's what led me to study for psychology, then clinical therapy, then existential therapy and counseling. So I got my postmaster's from Johns Hopkins to help. And I started working during the time I was pregnant. I started working at a center where I was leading individual counseling as well as group. I was running groups. That became such an issue because the people that I was working with, they were refugees, and they were displaced that had gone through so much. And I could see, for example, when I'm in the one-on-one setting, there is a grandfather standing behind that wants to bring message, and I can't bring it. And meanwhile, I'm like, please, like nobody should know I know this. Like, no, don't come. I don't want to be the translator. So I've been like, for years, I was fighting this. Like, don't talk to me. Nobody contact me. Like, nobody. I don't want people to know that I can talk to you guys. I just like, walking in the street, hearing things, seeing things. Like, it took so long to try to not just shut it down as much as you can. You try, but you don't usually. It's not totally shut down because it is your gift. But that became an issue because I couldn't. And I was suffering on the inside because I knew I could help them. I knew I could say what that grandfather wants to say that would lift them. But the issue that I had to run psychological tests to then send them to psychiatrists to get medicated was eating me up, Maureen. Like, that
Yeah,
was really tough.
that part wasn't so natural to you.
No, I didn't want, because I knew they needed to be held, they needed to be loved, they needed that comfort. And I couldn't deliver that in a clinical setting. So when 9/11 happened, the American Red Cross closed the border, so that my program was shut down. And that gave me the freedom to then, go through a whole different path, which I always wanted to do. But right before that, right about the same time, a few months earlier, my son was born. And my first son was born. That's what the gap between my father transitioning to my son being born. During that time, I closed the door to God. I was so mad at God. No, like, because I was very angry God did this, and there was other things, like, just very mad. But when my son was born, Maureen, that first week, he had a extreme health challenge. And as a brand new mother, it was awful what me and my former spouse we experienced in this health challenge within those first 2 days. I was devastated. I was just like, again, I was like, isn't this enough? Like, why so many brutal things? Like, why? So I had to meet a medical establishment that 15 different doctors all hovering in, they all have different opinion and telling me the worst of the worst things. And I know some of your woman audience know, if they've ever been in that position, it's awful when they tell you your son is not going to live, he's not going to make it, and they got to do this and this, and everything is horrible. And I found myself in disagreement with my former spouse with what they wanted to do, and something happened in me again. That thing that rose in me when I was in a fatal car crash, something rose in me. And Maureen, I became something else. And I stood in front of these 15 doctors. But before that, I stood in front of God. And I said, and I knew, I said, you did this to me. You need to show me why. I know you have a purpose. I'm ready for it. Show me. So I was so fierce with that. And that rose, that this crazy mother line came over me. Till this day, I've never touched that level of what that power was. And I stood in front of all of those medical doctors. I said, no, I refuse anything. And I took my child and I told God, I'm gonna pray. And I went prayed over my son. My son healed. My son is a living miracle, 26-year-old. I call him miracle child every day because I returned to God, and I learned. I said, I went to pray and I prayed and I learned the power of prayer. People don't understand what prayer actually is. And that
Yeah.
became my 26-year journey of prayer.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. And that energy just came through you. And was that just a knowing? Is that your intuition that you stood by in
It
that
was an
moment?
intuition. It was
Wasn't intuition.
no
Yeah.
soul, but
It was just a.
that was, I call that the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Exactly like that which rose in me before in the car accident took me higher. It rose because it consumes, it takes over, and it's the absolute truth. There's nothing else other than that pure, piercing truth that gives the power to stand in that presence. So imagine I'm this little thing and I'm standing bold in the presence these 15 doctors know. And out of that journey took me to a whole nother journey because I learned a lot about injections into children and things that had to pass on. So then I went crazy in learning what we mothers put on body, how it passes on through our children and the vaccinations and all of that. I was so angry, Maureen. I was so angry. But that fire of anger took me to a wild place. Because
Wow.
I changed everything in our house. I had to contain that. I learned every ingredient, you name it. I learned so much. So within like then it was rough during that time. My second son was born, but I had to do something. I had to help other women. And I had to make sure they don't experience the level of pain and hurt we experienced as a family.
Yeah.
For my son. No woman, no children should ever experience that. So with that, I knew I had to open a center. And that's where that center came. So I knew I had to feed this anger. So I was like, I am going to open a center. And my former son's like, what? I was like, I'm going to do this. So, but between this, I had done some trainings in between. But I wanted it to be holistic. I wanted it to be wellness. I wanted it to be healing. I wanted it to be, of course, it's a medi spa, but healing. But I knew I needed to bring it in and to do something else. So actually, before it happened, let me tell you this. Here's the other part of the miracle. Again, God Almighty gives you everything along the way. So I was like, I put a beautiful business plan because I knew how to do, you know, charts and all that. I was really good in research. So I put a 40-page business plan together and I was like very cocky, like, this is it. I'm going to go get the money from the banks. This is going to be amazing. So I went, you know, first bank that I saw, I showed every statistic possible, everything. I needed $135,000. And for many reasons, the first bank turned me down. Oh, this is good, but you don't have enough money. We can't give you. I'm like, what? Second bank, oh, I'm sorry, you're not minority. I'm like, what do you mean? I am minority. No, you're not the right minority group.
Wow.
And then, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I went through another bank and another bank. Each time, Maureen, they turned me down. My fire got crazier. I knew the truth was even that deep. I needed to do this, but I didn't know how. So when the ninth bank turned me down, that's the time that it really affected me. I started just, you know, tearing up. And I had a client that day scheduled later, and I called her and I said, I'm so sorry, I have to cancel. I'm just really broken down. I can't see you today. Let me schedule. She's like, why? What's going on? I was like, no, I don't want to trouble you. She's like, what's going on? I was like, you know what has happened with my son. You know my passion. Like, I have this dream. I need to open this center. I need to help other people. I know I can do this. I just need somebody to give me a chance and everything. Like, I have everything. Nobody, no bank. This is, I don't understand. You need the loan for times like this, but nobody's giving me. She said, how much do you need? I said, $135,000. She's like, come to my house. I'm going to write your check. I was like,
amazing.
But you want to know what's more amazing? Out of that, I opened my center in 2 weeks. Out of that, within 6 months, I became the first holistic, my center became the first holistic wellness medi spa and healing center in the US that was recognized as a socially responsible green company.
Ooh, yeah.
I was nuts with all of the, I mean, I put everything into it just to bring education. I became a public speaker. Mm-hmm. And out of that, I helped 15 women open their businesses, not through the traditional
That's so
way.
Cool. Yeah.
And out of that, so talking about women, that started. So the woman, then I learned about International Fly Flying Fund. I had to help the woman with these two projects in four countries, Tanzania, Uganda, Sudan, and Kenya. So I took part in that, and that's how I created 350 products. Again, woman. So, I mean, Maureen, like there was no stopping me with how far I was going, because that spirit took over me. But it is the spirit of passion mixed with anger. I didn't want that anger anymore. It was the hurt. I didn't want to run on that hurt anymore. But
I know. Just thinking of you then too is, so that's where that's the accomplishments that you were producing and you were sort of achieving in the best of ways, they were just thriving off that combination of the passion and the anger, would you say?
Yeah. It was all of your mother listeners here. When you have been touched to the core, there's no other core than your child. And you've just been brought to your knees.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. Yeah. Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
But I'm on the other side of it. But those memories forever, I'm grateful because I was able to impact thousands of lives with that level. But it was eating me up. And that's what eventually led me to my NDE, the injured man.
Which is unbelievable as well. Where did that come in the timeline?
Yeah. So 2006, I opened my center, June 2006. And then I created my product line 2007 and released it. And I was on top of my game. This is like, I mean, we're talking about Bloomingdale's, Neiman Marcus. They want to carry my product line. It was called Holico Life. No chemicals, no vegan. I started a whole green movement in DC with other organizations to bring education and what you put in your body, how it affects your health, how it affects earth, the footprint, and how it affects your connection with God. Like just so much. And I was just thriving at the highest level of thriving. And so here's the joke on me, dear Marie. While I have this center, as I'm doing this, people are coming and I'm doing sessions on them, women and men. And I learned different laser treatments, from laser hair removal, laser vein treatments, to tattoo removal. So all of this was super achiever. All of this, I had gotten my trainings as well. And they were coming, but they weren't coming for that. So things started to happen in the room. Healings began taking place.
Yes, yes.
They were coming and I was like, oh no, oh no.
Here it
so
is again.
I started I studied privately with a master, and I did my, in her garden, it took a year, we did my Reiki master training. Then out of that, went to a few other ones. I studied with Eric Pearl, did my reconnection and reconnective healing and all that. Along the sides, I was like, okay, like, I can't hide this, like, but it's happening so fast.
Yes.
People are coming and they're like, reporting, oh, honey, I know I came for like hair removal, but I just want you to know I had this like breakthrough. I had this. And meanwhile, they're coming. I'm seeing like, here we go. The team of angels are coming. And this time I'm trying to suppress it. Like, no. But I couldn't hold it back anymore. And it was the worst fight inside of me.
Okay.
And I had people coming out of different places and they're like, oh, you need to allow your healing heal people. And I was like, no, that's not me. That's for everybody else. Like, and I started finding myself surrounding around all these healers. And meanwhile, all of them, they're like, oh no, you are the healer. I'm like, nope.
Absolutely not.
No.
That's not safe yet. I gotta stay in my lane.
No. It was a long battle for that. So what essentially happened after that was it started becoming so much that I couldn't contain it. And I had already picked up this training, especially like, for example, when I went to the reconnective healing with that training, I went with several healers. But when I was there, like I knew everything from inside out. Like I just knew. I knew the transmissions. I knew how it was. I was like, I know this place so well. It was what I already knew. What others were trying to figuring it out, but had experienced it. You know, so it was like so The most natural thing for me was this, but I didn't want people to know me in that.
Yeah. So it's so interesting to me too, because there were so many ways in which you were allowing yourself to be known. So when I hear the tales of what you were up to and what you were creating, I'm like, oh my God, even in front of the 15 doctors, the fire that was coming through you, and yet and still there were more breakthroughs to come.
Journey. So what essentially happened, I couldn't fully be myself, but two significant moments that's very important for your audience to understand. This is right before I shut everything. I had no plan in shutting everything down. So you have to understand, I'm in my ultimate, I'm a paid speaker. I'm making a lot of money. I'm everywhere. I'm in so many magazines and TVs and on top of the game. Literally I have it all, and I'm like a super like mother and woman and that whole thing. My heart is lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. The hole is bigger and bigger during this time. Yet there's a satisfaction. There's such a joy in helping Earth. And I was a hardcore vegan at that time. Helping mothers, helping others, helping all of this was happening. And my younger son cracked me open to a whole different level. He's the reason why, I had to give in, because he had extraordinary experiences. I had to fight another medical establishment because they wanted to label him autistic and this and that. And meanwhile, he didn't speak till he was 5, but when he spoke, he was very clear about his memories of us, me being his sister, and the plasma ships we were in. So I had to learn, and we had a lot of visitations in our house because of him. So I had to, again, behind the scene, I'm living this life, other people don't know, but this is happening, And my poor former spouse had a lot of challenge with everything, just a lot. So in one of my trips to Las Vegas, where the lady who was part of my project, where we would create the makeup line. So I had flown there. This was in May of 2010, so that we can pick the new colors for the palettes. And while I was there in the business meeting, imagine it's a business meeting, she brings me something like a little jar that has like a little gel in it. And I'm looking at it, oh, beautiful. Something sparks. And when it sparks, something happens to me. So suddenly my head goes back, my eyes flicker, this thing opens up, and there's like floodgate of supreme fast, like golden light with this like scroll with codes, and it is coming in, and my eyes are going. She thinks I'm having seizure, and I just hear words that says, "You must close now. Get ready for your next." Like this, and I don't know whose voice it is, what is happening, shaking. And finally, I'm on the floor. She's like, oh my God, what happened? What happened? And meanwhile, I'm in complete bliss, because again, it brings it back to that the feeling of when I was in the fatal car crash, like the bliss, but it looks really bad when you're looking at me.
Well, I'm thinking like the whole you've got to close the business is like,
No, so
what?
then, but this is significant. So I don't know first whose voice that is, but I've heard the voice before. I don't know what to do with this voice. So then, from Vegas, all I did, I just called my former spouse. I said, I have to shut everything down. He's like, what? He's like, what? So again, I couldn't say anything to him. I couldn't explain, because I couldn't even understand it myself. I was like, how, like, but there was no question. It wasn't, how do I close this? Absolutely, but I can't explain it to anyone. How do I get out of contract? I have 8 employees. I have 2 assistants. I have all of these,
Yeah.
So when I came back from Vegas, I hadn't told anybody. It was just my brother and my former spouse. Those were the only people knew. And I was like, I just knew I had to close. And it was very clear. It was just a few words. You must close. Get ready for your next. I don't know what's the next. So I came, And this is what happened. That was a Wednesday. I flew back that Saturday. I had a full day of clients. I went to office, and Saturday, usually the building's closed, and I'm getting everything ready before clients come. Some lady walks in, and I'm like, oh, hi. She's like, are you Honey Borden? I'm like, yeah. She said, do you know why I'm here? I'm like, no. And I was like, I don't know. No, I don't know. I have a full day schedule, kind of like, I'm going through a lot. I can't talk to anybody. I'm just gonna come at this. She's like, do you know who I am? I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't know who you are. What can I do for you? She's like, come here, my child. And I walked over to her, and she said, I was told to find you. I said, okay, who told you? She's like, I was told you have to close and get ready for your next. Maureen.
Right.
She's like, I go around when people receive the message to find them, to make sure this
Oh my
message.
gosh.
And meanwhile, freaking out. I have no idea what is this. Something's happening. What realm is this? I've entered. I don't know who do I talk to. So I called one of my teachers. Please help me. I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm freaking out. I couldn't even tell her what was happening. Nobody knew. How did she
And then she was gone.
know? She said, but I'm going to come back next week, bring you something. I'm going to tell you who told me. I'm going to tell you who sent me. So when she came, I did receive who had sent her. There's a whole other thing in that. And I had to, that week, then I had to tell to get out of my lease and close. That was August of 2010. And I had to wait. I had no instruction, nothing. And it was in October of that 2010, that one morning, 5 a.m., I was awoken with the sound, same voice. It's time to share what happened in the contract. And I woke up like I don't know, like somebody was just taking over my body. I came, put my finger, went in the basement, put my finger where my lab was, where I would produce the products. And I started typing, and for 3 hours I was transformed. I went back to the scene, saw everything. I had to understand certain things. And within 3 hours, this book was written. I never planned to write a book. I felt very shameful, embarrassed because my English, grammar, all of this, still very, a lot of issue. But it was written, and the day I became a superhero was born.
Oh,
And
amazing.
that was published on 11/11/11. It came out at the I Can Do It conference at Hay House in Tampa. But
Amazing.
within that year, everything was removed. I had to start then going through separation with my husband, separating from everything. And my body started not doing very well, and I got very ill. So I published my book. I got very ill. And that January is when I actually had the death experience, where my heart stopped. And that was a whole different experience because I experienced afterlife, whereas the first one I didn't experience afterlife.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I
tell
took
us
you on
about
a journey.
that. Yeah. And what was the difference there for you? What happened in the afterlife?
In the experience of the car crash, I didn't experience afterlife. I experienced the presence of our higher body. That's what I experienced. Afterlife is many different planes that I navigated, went through to get to the light, to get to that supreme eternal light. And that's a full story around it. But I'll kind of speed it up briefly for you. My heart stopped. I came out of the body. And again, I apologize because it really needs honored. And there are a lot of YouTube videos on me that people can watch that I go in detail of what happens. On a short version is when my heart stopped, I came fully out of my body and I was in the spirit body looking at myself. Then I came out, and I came fully out, and I was out of Earth, which is the big difference than that one. And I was first met with a presence of this spectacular pink, light pink with white golden presence of an angel that circled these three rings of circle around me, welcoming me to afterlife. And she introduced herself as Archangel Haniel, whom I've never heard of, no clue who that was. So exquisite and beautiful. And I was in a spirit body. Then I was brought to an area where there were two openings, and one side was my entire family that had crossed over, my grandmother, my grandfather, my uncles, and they're all clapping. They're gorgeous, they're all radiant, beautiful, amazing, just well, waiting for me to come. And but she pointed me out to this other one, not to go there. And this one had a like the inside of it was this midnight blue color with like a silver hue, and I had to go through there. And once I instructed, but I couldn't ask why, everything was very fast. When I went through that, it was like light speed, like I'm going through light speed, like what you see in the movies very much. And I came out on the other side of it in this most exquisite plane of consciousness that I was not in a spirit body anymore. I was in a consciousness. And that consciousness was like inside nebula, gorgeous. And from there, I was brought then to another plane. And that's where I was brought in front of a 12 beings, six to each side, very tall. And when my consciousness was brought there, I was like, ah, I'm home. And I noticed the being is the being that was with me, that guardian that I told you about. I knew I'm home. I knew where I was. Like I just knew everything. And they brought my consciousness in the middle, my DNA. They shifted things around. They showed me all my lives. They showed me my life review. So much was shown and revealed to me there. And then from there, few specific things were explained, shared, soul agreements, and all of these things. Then that's when, in the middle, this bright, piercing, like incredible, just blinding light started opening up, that my consciousness was going towards it, going totally towards it. And out of that consciousness, a figure began to emerge in front of me. And when my consciousness saw the presence, it was the living Christ, the living presence Christ. And very quickly, his word said, "You cannot be with us." And as the sound came, it was those words, those few times that I heard, I didn't know who was talking to me. It was the same beloved Christ that I never knew. And but he said, "You cannot be with us," and said a few things, and you have to go back. But this was the key. He said, "You cannot be with us, my child. You must go back and share this." And share this was about the presence of God Almighty, the mighty I Am presence. And he said a few things, and just like that, I was sent back to my body, and I was healed in 3 days completely. And I was a different person entered in, and then my journey 14 years ago began. I had to go on a 5.5 year planetary work to serve a specific mission of 40 locations, separated from my family, go through this separation, divorce, everything shut down, everything, literally no material. I had to live on spirit and fulfill this promise, and I was shown this partner will come so we can fulfill the mission together, who I'm with right now, 10 years now, and Michael. And I mean, and so much more. I mean, there's so much more
Oh,
happening.
yeah. I'm excited to watch some of the YouTube because this is my first time hearing all of this, and it is so otherworldly. Only can we imagine it for those of us which is most of us. But when you do you speak to other people who have experienced the afterlife or
Yes,
in
I
the
have. I've been on so many NDE interviews. I mean, like so many. And the biggest one is Alex Fari in with Next Level Soul. And I mean, there are just so many of us. I did my own interview and many people. And just to understand, those of us who've had NDE and the different levels of it and the depth of it. And during that, again, the woman for me has always been the woman, helping the woman. Coming back, bringing the wisdom to the woman, the understanding of the quality of God Almighty, the feminine quality of it, what it is, deep understand what is it, the masculine inside, what is that sacred marriage, what is that to bring it through, and how is that role of the love, not the human love, God Almighty, the mighty presence love. I mean, there's such depth to this, and this is, I gave everything up to serve this mission, this call to bring it about. So, like sometimes we're in a classroom, like together, you've been, I can't share, like,
Oh,
of course, yeah, I can't tell you what I've gone through.
right. You're kind of scanning the room, like, who can I go there with? Yeah. No,
But
it's
I
so.
don't hold the big changes, then I had to suppress it so much. And after that, I came out completely open who God Almighty had and all the different expressions of it, a lot of expressions of it.
And just that clarity and knowing that you had been given so many circumstances in your life that led you to that point, but here you are. And then, it's thank you so much for sharing so much today. Because, when I was preparing for our time together too, oh my gosh, everything you're doing through Ascension Alchemist now, and I want you to speak to that just a bit so people
Thank
get
you.
a taste of what you're up to and the kind of offerings, because I like to often go if someone has social media even, and I was looking at your Instagram, and I will say to anyone here, and we'll share of course, but your Instagram, you've got just such relatable kind of wisdom or offerings around things we're experiencing in everyday life, and a lot of it is around relationships, and people are really craving that. So let us like give us a picture
Sure.
of.
Thank you so much, Maureen. So here's the thing that I'll share with your audience. Everything is about this lifetime right here. It's not about other lifetimes. It's about this life. You are seated on purpose in this life to bring a specific, let's say, promise into this incarnation. All of us are gifted. All of us, there's a special design that's given to all of us. Now, when those of us who've had these, when we are back in a human, we are seeing life through a different lens. And we're stretched even more because we cannot just operate from our five senses. We must operate from that higher lens in this human body, which becomes a walk of mastery. It's very challenging, yet it's like we experienced heaven. We know it's very real. It's not fake. It's not religious. It's we come from there and we're going to return back there. And the task has been given to us to bring the qualities of heaven onto earth. So Ascension Alchemist, 6 years ago, the name was given to me in the shower, saying me and my husband, Michael, we are the Ascension Alchemist. It's for the people who've gone on their ascension journey. Okay, great. Now you remember. Now you got to embody it. That embodiment is the key. So the embodiment is in everyday life. And that's where it is for me to bring it to the simplicity, and that's where the mastery is. It's the refinement, the art of being in this body and allowing true grace, allowing mercy, allowing God's love, being stretched, being able to love those who've really harmed you, who've done wrong to you, so that mercy, God's mercy, can be blessed upon their life. Being able to truly forgive what's not forgivable. And I really speak to that because I have had to be stretching that from the place of, let's say, sexual abuse to really transmute that. So that area, that became a mastery because I had to go through depth and be on the other side. So the love of God Almighty and the grace is the only one. And there's nothing left behind. So that's why, like on my social media, is what I teach. When I help women with the frequency of God Almighty. It is not religion. It is through the eternal light, which is the living Christ in everyone. And it's not in the spiritual community. Woo-woo, it's none of that. It is the truth of who you are. And my role has been given to help women to embody this so they are given the ability to bring those heavenly qualities that they come from through their body becomes a vessel in here. So to live a very, to live
Gorgeous.
purely, gorgeously, elegantly, lovingly, but such exquisite truth, and to unleash the power of that level of love, which transmutes. There's no other power that can transform immediately and transmute by that. So that was the gift that was given to me, but I had to have my human catch up.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that you've got that groundedness that you share with your partner. You say, and are you always on the podcast together? Do you always share that?
No. So we have, like, for example, like my podcast episode came today. So every Monday is just my podcast episode, which is Ascension Alchemist. And every Thursday, every other Thursday is Michael and I. And we speak about what, you know, we've experienced. Because in relationship, you could, even with ours, we're going to go through this. And I have to begin to stretch. And it's like back into the drawing board. Because the human part of me want to be like, That was like screwed up. Why did you do that? But God almost like, let's bring heaven onto you. And it's like,
and that's that part, like, within, because when I've more and more, you know, am striving on this path, there is a sense that I can do it too. I don't think that I can't do it. You know, and it might be still a little bit far from me, or even though that's probably super close, but you know what I'm saying?
And yeah, there's, when you see one embodying that truth, that becomes available in you to then access it. So that's why I use the podcast. I use the platforms in very everyday things to just speak very, in plain things, like in everyday life, the issues, because that's where it is. And so, for example, this Monday, like that, my podcast came out, I really talked about when you have had an identity shift, like you're not your old person, you know this, and then that in between, you're still not it, and all the challenge that comes, and how do you navigate it? That was like, even with me, it's like, okay, like, here it is. Because I'm having God Almighty help me, stretch me, so I have a language that I can bring out. And the language is not here where it was before. It's very much grounded in the earth plane, because it must be brought into the body.
That's a really good point. I was thinking when I saw that post of yours that middle space can be, there'll be part of us that feels frustrated by it. And I know that there's other parts of me that are like, you're fine, you're okay. But then I think that groundedness you're talking about, and that we are, the thing that started coming to me a lot at the end of last year is, we're all having this very human experience. And there may be things offered out there like the year of the fire horse or this astrological happening. And it's okay to still be going through what sometimes feel dense, or a release of emotions, or these things that we've been so conditioned to put to the side, to say are not, they're not desirable. Yet they are. They're just part of who we are.
Well, the human journey is designed to go through many experiences. And here's the key. The human journey is experiencing life from five senses. When we understand who we are, so when we get to that ascension understanding, and then we got to embody it, the walk is very different. Because you're meeting the human with its limitation of five senses while you have your full understanding of the depth of that presence and that truth that you are, and you got to bring it here. So it meets at a friction. And this friction is tied to your family, culture, upbringing, things stored in your body, all of these things. So then you have to allow it to be met. And the only way is to be met with love, and not your human love, God Almighty love. And you can't call it, with all due respect, universe. And because what I'm speaking of, universe is good, but what I'm speaking of is the one that created universe and universes. So I'm not talking about universe. We're talking about the truth, the one presence. So from there, you're able to then bring that presence to here, to open the pathway in you. Because what happens after that, when that comes in you, you within the human form get to experience you that you never ever imagined exists and is possible. It is mind blowing. We haven't even seen our best yet.
It's
a living example of the experiences I had. I wasn't trained for it. It was seated in me, as it is seated in you. This is why I speak of it, so you can remember it's in you. But the key becomes you can't access it. It's just a dimensional, quite little shift. You have to be put, unfortunately, in situations that you're in, so it can come out. So happy journey, happy journey, your human journey.
It's so beautiful. And I think that, I know we're just about to finish our talk today, but maybe the first of many. I was going to say, in members of your community, you probably see all the time the opening, that whether it's the heart soul opening or however you spirit inhabiting, whatever it is, but I'm sure you see it in real time and it's super amazing to
So
see.
beautiful.
Because,
I get to be a witness. I get to be a witness while that seed is about to pop. And my role, like a lot of times when I mentor women or I run the groups with women, I get to witness. Holy moly. My job is to be standing in this place of presence so that they can rise into the presence that God Almighty designed it to be. And I'm here to support that. And I just feel so honored, like tears, that God's given me this beautiful gift to witness. It's amazing.
What would you say to anyone who's newer on the path and they're curious about where they can go next if they were interested in checking out your work? What is the best place to go? Is it YouTube? Would you say?
Sure. I would say, I'll be honest, if you're newer in the path on your ascension journey, I wouldn't be the right person for you. Because I'll be straightforward, because I do work with individuals who have been in this for they've been on this social journey for a while and they have remembered. So now it's all dedicated to embodiment, because it is that embodiment is what it's going to make sense. It's going to make much more sense to you, because otherwise, for those who are still like just, it's a different walk, and I want to be of great service to you. So you have, otherwise it's going to have friction. So ascensionalchemist.com is my website. Ascension Alchemist podcast, it is also Instagram, Reverend Honey Borden or Ascension Alchemist. So all of that is there. And you can always reach out. Like if you are a woman that you, I always found it's a frequency. People are like, I know I have to work with you. And when you know it, just message me. We go over what is the area that you know you need help, because I'm on the other side of it. I'll be able to help you come in this. Tell me whether it's the 3 months that I work with you, or the 6 months, or the 10 days intensive. So I customize, and I don't take as many clients at all, because it has to be the right alignment so that I can help you, so that I can just play the part in your next best. And that's
Gorgeous.
what I would say.
If you know, you know. For sure. Thank you for bringing everything today, Honeybee. I loved everything you shared, and it's an honor. Thank you to the listeners, as always. Anything parting you want to leave, Honeybee? Do
Yes,
you?
this is what I would love to share. Thank you so much, first, for this opportunity. For your beautiful listeners, I want you to know this human journey, it is a journey. The destination, you're going to die, destination, you're going to be in heaven. So while you're on this journey, remember you are by design given the opportunity to go through many different experiences. Now you have the choice to enjoy the experience or pain the experience. I would really welcome, invite you, if you just choose, you know you're going to go through things. But you can do it with joy. I wish somebody had told me that.
Great message.
You can do it, still joy. Yeah, this is difficult, but you know what? I can still choose joy, because when you choose joy, you have better access to God Almighty's wonderfulness and lightness, so it can help carry you, so it doesn't have to be so much of suffering. That's what I want to share with you.
Gorgeous. Thank you. I love it. It's a perfect place to end today. Thank you. And thanks to the
Thank you
listeners.
so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.